The book of Isaiah, chapter 7. We'll read together verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Chapter 9, please. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Gospel according to Luke, please, chapter 1. We'll read verse 25, please. Verse 26, rather, sorry. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is a sixth month with her who was barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose up in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? chapter 2, please. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, chapter 8, please. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these, which hear the word of God, and do it. Would you come along now to John's Gospel, please? Chapter 2 for verse. Verse 1. On the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. Chapter 19, please, of the same book. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour Jesus took her, or that disciple took her into his own home. The book of the Acts, please, chapter 1. Verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and the Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now God will bless his own word. Now, I was here on Lord's Day. A brother told me at the back I'm not becoming a familiar visitor, but it'd been quite a long time since I'd been before that, you know. In the course of speaking on Lord's Day, I made a remark, which someone asked me about at the back of the hall afterwards. And it was this, that incident was the occasion of teaching. So it is. Incident is always the occasion of teaching. When the Lord takes up incident after incident in the Gospel, and he makes it the occasion of teaching. So does Paul in his epistles. So does John. For incident gives occasion to teach. And I want to take an incident which has happened recently. And on the basis of that, seek to bring before you certain things which I believe at times require to be said. Now I want to speak a little concerning something which follows the pastoral visit of the Bishop of Rome to Southern Ireland, which has received much publicity, and concerning and surrounding which there has been a great deal of euphoria and wonderment. In fact, in one of our assemblies just last Sunday, following that visit, an overseer in that assembly was heard to speak publicly in prayer concerning that visit and pray much for its blessing. I want to speak a little of that visit. For following it, we must expect a great deal more clamour than there has been for a coming together and an amalgamation of churches and religious bodies. That has to be expected. And also there has to be expected following that an upsurge of Mariology, or the teaching concerning Mary. And there will not be a removal by the Church of Rome from their stated beliefs relative to that. Rather will there be pressure upon Christian communities and churches to accept what Rome already believes relative to that. For Rome will not depart from its teaching, otherwise there would be undermined papal infallibility. For they cannot admit wrong, otherwise infallibility does not exist. Now then, we base what we state upon Scripture. Rome of necessity does not do that. And do not in any way be deluded by quotations of Scripture by the person concerned. For in the papal creed, to which every pope must give credence, there has to be the acknowledgement of the traditions of the elders or of the fathers. And credence to the tradition of the elders gives an admission of the superiority of that to the scriptures themselves if one comes into conflict with the other. See, Rome looks upon one as being internal evidence and the other being external evidence. And they always have stated that the internal evidence of the traditions of the fathers are greater than external evidence which they say is the writings in the Gospels and in the epistles. Now then, the Pope recently visited the shrine of Loreto, and that shrine is the home reputedly to be where Mary was brought up. How they say that still exists, I do not know. Because of the fact that we know that the Lord spake of that city, that not one of Jerusalem itself, that not one stone would be left upon another. But somewhere or other of that home in Nazareth, they say it's been preserved and kept, and angelic beings brought it to that scene in a renewed condition in the year 1291. Now then, the Roman Catholic Herald of 14979, that's recent, it stated that the Pope had spent 10 minutes in that home praying. In his prayer, he used the following words concerning Mary. Would you kindly note them? I've written them down so that I'll be sure of my repetition. It appeared in the Catholic Herald 14979, and this week or thereabouts. There was a further setting of out in a newsletter from Ireland submitted by the Free Presbyterian Church. He says, Most Holy Mary, Most Holy Generator of God, Mother of divine grace, mirror of justice, seal of wisdom, cause of our joy, mystical rose, tower of David, tower of ivory, house of God, ark of the covenant, gate of heaven, morning star, health of the sick, refuge of sinners, comfort of the afflicted, Queen of angels, of patriarchs, of prophets, of apostles, of martyrs, of confessors, of virgins, of all angels conceived without sin, Queen of the Holy Rosary. These are some of the titles used by the person whom men venerate. My friends, Scripture used none of these titles. Now, the above was openly printed, and you'll find it if you wish to get it in the newsletter of the 28th of the last month, the newsletter published by the Free Presbyterian Church. Now, Rome makes much of Mary. We, because of Protestantism, have veered away from that. Veered away to the extent of this that we almost ignore Mary. Now we cannot ignore her. But we must take into account, in view of what will become prevalent, what Scripture states concerning her. And we must be clear in our minds. Now, what we must always remember in dealing with the Word of God is that the Bible is not a book of definitions. The Bible is a book of revelation. We love to have things defined, but in Scripture, what we have is revelation, and we cannot be wise above what is written. We are dependent upon revelation. And to go beyond what is revealed is sin. You may say that strong. Shall I put it this way? The Scripture states, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So to go beyond what is written is sin. Now then, I want to devote some of the time I have left to the scripture statements concerning this woman. In the book of Isaiah, her name is not given, but her purity and the kind of person she is clearly stated. We must wait for New Testament revelation in order to have her identified. But this is not something which is new. For instance, those surrounding John in the banks of the Jordan knew nothing of the Lord Jesus until John identified him. John pointed him out, and John showed the sign that came from heaven, upon whom thou shalt see the dove descending, that this is the Spirit descending, this is he. That was the identification. Mr. Penro Boness used to talk of the Lamb of God and say he was typified or prophesied in Abraham. He was personified in Isaiah. He was led as a lamb. He was identified in John's Gospel. Now, Mary is identified in the Gospel according to Luke. But the type of person and the kind of person and her purity is seen in Isaiah. Now Isaiah states, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. I want you to note something. Partly because of our hymnology, and partly because of our use of language, we make the most important thing the birth of the Lord Jesus. We sing sometimes and state this: all her hopes my spirit owes to his birth, his cross, his shame. My brethren and my sisters, I'm going to say something to you today which may shock you, but I trust will make you think. The most important thing was not the birth of the Lord Jesus. The most important thing was what took place prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus. What is that? Read Isaiah again. And the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The conception before the birth was the most important thing that happened. If there had been no conception, there would not have been birth. It was a conception that was necessary. And that conception was the direct act and consequent upon the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. If in creation in the past, before creation is seen, manifested as Adam knew it, the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the water. And before this one was brought forth, it said, and the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that word overshadow is the same connotation as the Spirit of God hovering. And what took place in Mary, the conception prior to the birth, is the most important thing that happened. Now note this. Where Rome can be given credit is in their support and in their dogged persistence upon the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. We must give them credit for that. Please note what is said. In speaking of this woman whose name is not given, because her name's not important in Isaiah 7, it's the kind of person she is that's important there. It says, the virgin shall conceive. Who conceives? The virgin conceives. Do you tell me tonight you believe in the virgin birth? Are you sure you do it? Or you may say, what do you mean? I mean this. The virgin not only conceived but remained a virgin. That's the truth of it. What is conception? At conception, a life comes into a place where life had not been before. And at conception, a life comes in where a life had not been before there. It was necessary. It was necessary for the fulfillment of divine prophecy that the seed of the woman, and not the seed of a man, would bruise the serpent's head. The Lord Jesus had been in a place where never man had been, the throne of God. He's going where never man as man had been, to the right hand of the Majesty on high. For that's what prepared the place for us. For the moment a man took his place at the right hand of the Majesty, the place was prepared for every man who would come that way. The preparation of the place, as I said in this hall on Sunday, is not the Lord, like the Lord Jesus, like a woman spring cleaning, preparing rooms for visitors coming. Not at all. The moment he was in, the moment heaven saluted him, and the moment God said to a man, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, sit thou here. That moment the place was prepared. My friend, not only that, he's going to go through life and he's going to sit in an ass where another man sat. He's going to lie in a tomb where another man had lain. And he's coming in, he's going into a womb where never one had been before. And listen to this. He's going to leave it as he found it. Shall I repeat that? He's going to leave it as he found it. That's the virgin. That's why it says to Joseph, fear not to take to thee Mary thy wife. She's just as pure and as clean afterwards as she was before it. The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And from Mary is going to come this one, of whom we're going to read in the Gospels, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. My friends, listen to this. You never read in your Bible, now search it from butter to butter. You never read in your Bible that God sent Jesus into this world. You never read that. You read God sent forth his Son. Or the Father sent the Son. Jesus was a name he had when he came into this world and given to him at his coming into the world. So that, and I must pass for time's sake, if we read that Mary brought forth her firstborn child, remember this,
Mary was not the mother of God. We have read of her as the mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus was there. John 2. Stood by the cross, the mother of Jesus. John 19. Luke 2. Or Luke 1. And whence cometh the mother of my Lord unto me? Never the mother of God. But Mary was the mother of the man, and the man was God. So we must distinguish. We must distinguish. This one who came from her was so different from the man who had been first in this world, the Adamic man. In the Adamic man, the body was there before the life was there. In this man, the life was there before the body was there. It was that eternal life that was with the Father became manifest. And by the way, the word in John's first epistle says, that which was away from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes. Men attribute that to the birth of the Lord Jesus. I suggest to you that was not. That was to the banks of the Jordan. For the apostolate never saw him with their eyes until he was 30 years of age. And they're going to speak of that which we have seen and that which we have heard. Others had saw him prior to that, but John and the apostles had not until he called them at the time of manifestation. Now then, this woman is the one who's going to be brought in and her break, the one through whom he's going to be brought in. And much must be said to her credit. For the moment she heard what was going to be accomplished in and through and by her, she believes. That's why Elizabeth has said, blessed is she who hath believed. That's why she could speak. Zacharias, when he was spoken to, he did not believe, and therefore he could not speak. He became dumb. Paul learns the lesson of which the prophets say, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak. Zacharias did not believe, and therefore couldn't speak. But he only spoke when he believed. But here is a woman who accepts the most profoundest truth, and she accepts it without complaint or without demur. She accepts it willingly, even though there may be known to her what that would involve. For there was a cost to this woman in being the mother of the Lord Jesus. She was going to become the object of suspicion, even from the person whom she loved and cared for, Joseph. She was going to be the object of suspicion throughout life, and so would that be which was born from her. For as that child grew up,
He's going to meet men who are going to speak of his birth. And they're going to say to him, we know whence we are. Whence cometh this fellow? Whence cometh this fellow? We can trace our genealogy, he can't. And they're going to throw in his teeth continually as they gather their skirts around them with piety and holiness. They're going to say, we are not born of fornication, with the implication that he was. But in order that she might be fortified for the pathway, there comes to her Gabriel. And Gabriel comes to her as one who stands in the presence of God. And there's something to note. If Mary is the generator of God, as the papal authorities say, why is she so ignorant of what is to happen until it's explained? Gabriel knew what was to take place before she knew. Gabriel, standing in the presence of God, has got to convey to her how it's to take place. For she did not know. Queen of heaven, they may say. And she was ignorant of it until it was revealed. But Gabriel comes in and reveals to her. For, of course, it's persons who stand in the presence of God know the secrets of God. Shall I repeat that? You let it get into your mind. It's persons who stand in the presence of God know the secrets of God. The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear him. You can't expect to know the mind of the Lord if you don't keep in his company. Young folks, you want to know more of the Lord, keep in his company. That's how you get to know any person, isn't it? By keeping company with them. And Gabriel, he comes. Gabriel's name's mentioned 4 times in the scriptures, at least. He's always seen linked up with redemption. He comes and he conveys this to her. And he does so to fortify and enlighten her. Mary does not express doubt. Mary does not express rebellion. But Mary asks for explanation merely. How shall this be? And the explanation we have read, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and that which is born of thee shall be called Son of God. And whether she understood fully or not, she shows a subjective spirit to the will of God. In the poem of the Light Brigade, the poet puts in a little phrase and he says, there's not the reason why, there's but to do and die, wrote the 600. And here's a woman. And despite all the implications of that birth, she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and willingly, in the language of Romans 12, places herself upon the altar, which is a reasonable service. Now then, I must move on quickly. What prominence is given to this woman? And I skip over much, for I've only a few minutes. Well then, first of all, she was necessary. Most necessary for the establishment of the claims to the throne by the Lord Jesus. And necessary for Israel's redemption and Israel's recovery. See, you have 13 genealogies in your Testament. As I said on Lord's Day, you've only one in the New. It evens up all that's gone before. There are 3 14s in it. And not only that, but there's not a one given afterwards. But not only that, there's something in these genealogies which made Mary's important. Not only that she should be a virgin, but in the genealogy of Joseph, there's a man there of whom you may read in Matthew 1 called Jechonias. And God had said of Jechonias, there'd be none of that man's seed ever sit upon the throne. That was because he had become disqualified through behavior. Now Joseph is a legal right to the throne. It's traced through Solomon, I think. But Mary's also goes to David, but it's traced through Nathan. And Mary's was necessary to give the moral right to the throne because of the disqualification of the legal right in Joseph's line. So not only is that type of person needed, but a person of that genealogy is needed in order that there might be the rightful claim to the throne. See, the word is going to be, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come unto him. Now we put up our halls. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's not the word at all, you know. It's unto him shall the obedience of the people be. For his people are going to be willing in the day of his power. Now then, Mary seen not demurring, but then she's seen not being elevated by the event. For the moment the word is conveyed to her, and it's conveyed to her also there is another woman who was barren but is now found in conceiving. She's found going and communicating with an older woman than herself. And going where? Going to a hill country in order to do it. So she's seen as a woman with exercise. She's thinking of another woman. We are told of what Mary said, or what Elizabeth said. We are told of Mary's response in the Magnificat. But I want you to note what's called the Magnificat. In it, Mary never exalts herself. But 16 times, go through it, you'll find she talks of what Jehovah her God has done for her. Generator of God, she recognized the superiority of God. She recognized not only that, my spirit doth rejoice in God my Savior. Conceived without sin, not at all. She recognizes her own need of redemption. And not only so, after the birth of the child has taken place. If you read Leviticus 12, Leviticus 13, you would find what this meant to this woman to be willing to do that. For a male child, she had to know 41 days absence from the temple worship. She had to know 41 days outside of fellowship. Because of the fact of a male child being born to her. I have no time to go into that tonight. You read Leviticus 12, Leviticus 13. And then come back again to look. And you'll find she's not only prepared to be recognized as the one who knows the breakdown of that. But when she comes up, after the period when she comes to the 41 days are passed, to offer sacrifices according to the law, she's not only recognizing the superiority of the law of God to which she bows, for she bows to its tenets, but she comes and gives two young pigeons the gift of poverty.
But in the two young pigeons, there's also a disabusing of what Rome says. For there's one for a burnt offering, and the other is for a sin offering. Now, I did not see a trespass offering. I said a sin offering. And what's the difference between the sin and the trespass offering? Well, see, the sin offering is because of what we are. The trespassing offering is because of what we've done. One is the nature of sin, and the other is sin in the nature. And the recognition of that on the part of Mary. And then, events and time go on. And you find there gradually becomes a severance by the Lord Jesus, and a setting aside of Mary. Woman, what have I to do with thee? John 2. Okay? Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, they say. And they would make claims upon him on relative grounds. But Mary's Israel according to the flesh. And at the moment, isn't that where they are? They're without. And who are those who are in the within with him? He says, more blessed are they who do the will of God and keep it. They are more far blessed than Mary are, the youngest saint of God, implicitly coming and believing in the word of God, was as blessed as Mary was. Mary's blessing was only in her distinguishing to be the vessel from the vessel of choice. See, when I'm going over my time, my brethren will pardon me. If not, just don't ask me back. Then you'll not be bothered by that. But is this, see? The thing is this. Remember John the Baptist. When John Baptist is coming, why John Baptist was greatest among men. Of men born of women, there's none greater than John Baptist. But the scripture says, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Why? John was only a servant. The youngest child in this gathering, born from above and born of the Spirit, is a son. And the son's far greater than the servant. Mary's the lamb. Well then, time goes on, events go on. The last we see of Mary, we see her at the cross. We see her in Acts chapter 1. And after Acts chapter 1, Mary disappears. Mary disappears. And you never read of her again. You never read of her again. Where has she disappeared to? And I'm passing over a great deal, as you appreciate. The Spirit of God comes down. Units in the kingdom were there in Acts chapter 1. And those units in the kingdom, for new birth brings you into the kingdom, become involved in something new that's taken place that never will take place again, which is the baptism of the Spirit. And when that takes place, Mary's identification becomes lost in the body of the church, and she disappears in the body of the church, not to go to heaven and without bodily resurrection, but disappears in the church by the action of the Holy Spirit. For the same Holy Spirit that brought her into prominence is the Holy Spirit which equally causes her disappearance in the body of the church. I'm sorry I haven't time to develop this. We must leave it in consideration for brethren, the assemblies with you, and you can beat the rest out yourself.